Well, I ask, how does he do it? How does James Holzhauer do it? Perhaps some of you have been following, at least have heard about the game show Jeopardy, and the winning streak that a young man named James Holzhauer has, a streak of 32 straight winning shows. And tomorrow night, he may well break the $2.5 million goal and go amassed in 2004 by a guy named Ken Jennings, who did it in 74 straight games. In James's 32 game winning streak, he has answered correct more than 1,200 times. I don't think I've answered correct that many times in my entire life. In considering tonight's readings, it occurred to me that if a Jeopardy question were to be constructed about the Feast of the Ascension, what would be? Like, how about, what is the event that marks the end of the St. Luke story of Jesus and the beginning of another? If you were to say the Ascension, you would be correct. For it is a curious feast of the Catholic Church, is it not? And in some dioceses, it is celebrated on Thursday, Ascension Thursday. But in our diocese, Washington, recognizing the reality that most of the faithful will not be able to attend Mass on Thursday, has moved it to Sunday so that we can get a real glimpse of the power and significance of this feast. It is so that we have an awareness of what this feast is preparing the disciples for and our own, the Feast of the Pentecost. And we are given an image of the Ascension in the last lines of Luke's Gospel. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. And as he blessed them, he parted from them. Then he did homage as he was taken up to the heavens. However, in the opening lines of the Acts of the Apostles, remember that is also written by St. Luke. It is as if the Gospel is book one, the Acts of Jesus. The Acts of the Apostles is book two, the Acts of the Disciples because of the Pentecost. See the bridge. And so Luke, beginning the Acts of the Apostles, has a longer episode, and he speaks of the apostles whom he has chosen will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and will be witnesses. The operative word is witness in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. Do you get a sense of what is being set up here? From these lines of Luke, at the end of the Gospel and the beginning of the Acts, we are given an image of Jesus rising up into the clouds and disappearing. And that's what artists like Raphael and others generally, you see Jesus rising above. Now, if any of you have been in Jerusalem, you know that you climb a hill and allegedly there is a stone with folks say are the footprints of Jesus as he ascended. Whether or not that's true, who knows? But one guy named Inigo, later Ignatius, was so fixated on seeing that. He did it so many times that the Franciscans were getting tired of him and threw him out of Jerusalem. True story. Because he saw the power. He might have been fixated in a naive way, but he sensed, how was this Feast of the Ascension, and what was this about? Well, let's imagine what the disciples were thinking as Jesus rose or departed. What were they thinking as they looked intently at the sky as Jesus was going? Might they have asked themselves, why can't he stay? Who will be with us to show us how to be his witnesses? Who would you be when we argue among ourselves? Or when scandal rocks our community, we feel like we're going to collapse and our whole community is going to go disperse. Who teaches how to answer his enemy's objections? What should we do next? This evening, tomorrow morning, yes, they went to Jerusalem, but what did they do the next day? What does he mean, preach the gospel all over the world? Remember, they have not yet received the Spirit at Pentecost. The ascension is a bridge, my brothers and sisters, between the resurrection and the Pentecost. And it gives a sense of the energy, the anxiety. Okay, we live with Jesus, he rose, but what's next? These may have been some of their ponderings as they stared up the heavens. And it took the two men dressed in white garments, and perhaps were these the two angels at the empty tomb, to shake them out of whatever nostalgia or anxiety they were feeling. So rather than rush off fired by their own enthusiasms and plans, the disciples are told to wait. Wait for the power of the Spirit to bless your actions and energies. So they did that, letting themselves be ready and waiting for God to have influence over them. Such questions reveal that the ascension marks a major change in the church, the early church, the community whom Jesus left behind. The early church was about to undergo a big change. This ascension is an in-between time when one period is ending in Jesus' earthly life and a new age is about to begin. How appropriate it is that we are celebrating this feast on an occasion when our church, namely this very building, is about to undergo a major change. As has been announced for several weeks and described in today's bulletin, we will begin tonight repairs on the inside of the church. Repairs that are needed in our heating, air conditioning units, our lights, our audio system, our pews and plaster, and of course, a new coat of paint. We hope to have it all done by Labor Day. And actually, folks, at the end of Mass, you will be helped to begin the process by helping us collect all the hymnals in your pews. But my brothers and sisters, there are also other repairs needed in our church. We are approaching the first anniversary of the revelations regarding Cardinal McCarrick. And since that time, our parish has entered into a season of discernment. Our parish council presently is engaged in submitting an article to American Magazine that tells the story of more than a dozen listening sessions, several town halls, meetings, and potentially writings that we would change not just our parish, and perhaps not just our archdiocese, but have reverberations throughout our world, giving people hope of what you have done for the church, particularly around respecting victims and how we can move forward around that. It is a story worth telling, but not quite yet. In a certain way, we too are waiting for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in a new way, in a new church. Yes, we have the Pentecost next week, and yes, every day we're blessed by the Spirit, but on this particular Feast of the Ascension, it is serving as the bridge symbolically for us to wait through the resurrection and the ascension into the Pentecost, wait, perhaps, to be prepared to enter a new environment of belief we call church, what some have called an ecology of the Holy Spirit, or what David Brooks, the writer, describes in his new book, The Second Mountain, calling for a new moral ecology, a new narrative, a new way of habits of the mind for individuals and a community that our church needs, a community of transparency and trust, as well as our nation. But like the disciples, we may see ourselves as waiting in this way, symbolically, as we make church repairs, but spiritually in the repairs needed in our archdiocese and in the Roman Catholic Church in general. And so, in our season of discernment, we wait for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to help us ask and ask together the questions that while they may be risky and place us in some jeopardy, they will lead us to a new ecology of the Holy Spirit, where indeed we can preach with confidence and courage the word of Christ, the healing words, to the ends of the world. of the earth.